Welcome to another episode of the Auburn Daily Show. This is a big historic day because this is Auburn golf's first national championship. We are on the next day of that, and that is just incredible news, incredible journey to follow. And most importantly, they took down literally all of Auburn's enemy along the way. You couldn't write the story up any better. To cap off revenge tour, beating Florida State. Joining us today, a fan favorite. Y'all wanted him back. Auburn super fan, Auburn legend, and now recent Auburn grad, Michael Floyd. Welcome back to the Auburn Daily Show.
This is my first time on the show as an alumnus of Auburn University, so that's a little exciting.
I know. How does the graduation feel? How does it feel to now go from Auburn student to Auburn alumni?
You know, I graduated on a Sunday. I woke up that Monday and I was like, wow, so now I got to get a job. Now I got to, you know, work now. You know, I can't – now I have to plan things in my head. I just can't spontaneously wake up one morning and be like, oh, I'm going to go to the basketball game in Tuscaloosa today. You know, now I got to plan it out because life is going to happen. But it's been exciting. It's been exciting to be what my people are calling it, a full-on adult now. But there's no other place I'd rather have on my degree. In Auburn University.
That's right, War Eagle. I will say this has been a great week for Auburn, all things considered. We're going to talk about a lot of those highs today, but obviously, okay, like we mentioned in the beginning of this episode, Auburn golf wins their natty, and it was so, you couldn't write it up any different because it ended up being a rematch with Florida State in the state of California. It would have been a lot cooler if it were closer. I know a lot of Auburn folks would have been there to support them. It's just tough to get out to California. It is how it ended up happening. And I think a lot of people were nervous about the juju there. It was like there were too many stars lining up. But you know what? Auburn took care of business, won their first ever golf natty. It doesn't matter. Like, a national championship is a national championship.
Right.
Like, that's huge. That puts you on the map. And the conquest of becoming everything school, I mean, this is huge. You beat Yale along the way. You beat Yale twice. So you got to get your revenge tour there. You know, Ohio State, they just, you know, big old heads, got to knock them down a few pegs, just dominated the SEC. I mean, this golf team was something special.
They were. And if you looked at all of their matches in the postseason, I had the opportunity. I didn't get a chance to watch the regional, but I did get a chance to watch the SEC golfing championship. And then, obviously, got to see the quarterfinal, and, of course, the championship on yesterday. And, man, these guys have a lot of heart. These guys are people that you want to be playing if you're an Auburn Tiger. And oh, my goodness, Jackson Koivin is just phenomenal. And he's only a freshman. That's just the crazy part. He's only a freshman. He's won basically two of the major awards in golf, a first-team All-American, and he was just one silly shot away from winning the overall individual title to be individual champion throughout of all NCAA. The kid is great, and he's going to be phenomenal going forward. I hope he stays at Auburn his full 4 years. But obviously, you know, when you do as great as he has, more opportunities come to join the upper ranks. And if he does do that, I'll be a big fan of him on the tour. But it wasn't just a solo effort, even though Koivin had a phenomenal semifinal against Virginia, and his shot got Auburn into the championship match. I think it's Brendan Valdez. He was amazing as well. And then it came down to J.M. Butler on yesterday during the national championship, and he bend, but he didn't break. So bend but not break under pressure, and that's what he did. He fought. That match was tied throughout the entire time. He went one up, then he went two up. And then as the announcer said on the air yesterday, J.M. Butler was the only Auburn Tiger that never trailed in any of his matches throughout the entire postseason, which I think is incredible. It speaks to the type of player he is. But Coach Clenard has done a phenomenal job. Now it's time to get these guys some more NIL because they deserve it, and to get them hang their picture up, get some statues built or something. But Auburn University Golf Club, if it needs facilities, let's give it to them. But these guys have worked hard to get where they are. And it's a great day to be an Auburn Tiger. And hopefully that championship just shows where Auburn is headed through the 2024-25 athletic year.
Yes, so this is an interesting stat on there. I think it was your boy TND Takeover, also Auburn Daily Show guest, I guess cameo maybe a little bit, should we say, did a tweet that's basically saying Auburn is the first non-Nike school to win a national championship in golf since 2011 when Augusta State won it with Adidas. And that will not be the case much longer as Auburn is transitioning to a Nike school. But it just kind of goes to show how dominant Nike has been in sports. And even now, it's almost like with a big asterisk because, like, well, Auburn will be Nike school. And it just kind of stings a little bit because you're like, man, that swag for Nike would have been so awesome. That golf swag. I guess someone that plays golf, like, that's something I feel like I could sport it. But all that means is they just got to do it again. And I think I mean, they got they will do it again. Let's be honest. Let's just go ahead and call that shot. So, huge historic run for Auburn golf. I think the only downside of this was the lack of coverage Auburn had on the golf. Yeah, the golf channel. I think there were lots of people who were tweeting and upset about that online. Crazy how little coverage Auburn got. Maybe it had a chip on their shoulder, but I think it's just a little ironic because you know what? Those are your champs now. So, you know, that's what you get for not highlighting them. But I want to say huge congrats to them. Hope the guys are able to get back safely, roll Tumors, and have a blast. Tumors looked wild last night. I wish I was down there to see it. Did you make it to Tumors?
No, I didn't make the tumors, but I do want to speak on that real quick before we move on to our next point. Is that, people were saying, and people joke about it, but in reality, it's the truth when they say it's just different down there in Auburn. It really is different. I don't think there's another school outside of maybe Vanderbilt in the SEC, let alone the country, unless they're just really a prevalent golf school, that will celebrate winning a national championship in the sport of golf like Auburn did last night. I mean, Tumors was filled with people, is going to be filled with people tomorrow on Friday for the national championship celebration. And I just don't think you get there anywhere else. And the same Auburn fans that roll after beating Georgia or after beating Alabama or after beating LSU in football are the same Auburn fans that roll when Auburn wins an SEC championship in basketball to the same fans that roll when Auburn goes to the College World Series in baseball and the Women's College World Series in softball are the same fans that were out there yesterday rolling because Auburn has won a national championship in golf. And that's Auburn being Auburn right there. And I don't think you find that anywhere else in the country.
No, I agree. I mean, you think back, like how many teams that have won the golf national championship in the last decade can you name? But I guarantee you, Auburn fans will make sure every fan base across the country knows that they won golf every day for like forever. I mean, they will be talking about that, rubbing it in people's faces. And you're right. I mean, that's just Auburn. There's just that level of passion and spirit that other fan bases don't have. They don't get it. And like I said, you know, it's different. We're going to wear it proudly, you know, mock it, but you just wouldn't understand it. So let's jump to the next one, though. Obviously, congrats to them. Huge, huge dub. And really wish I'm moving, so I can't make it down there, but would love to be at that national championship celebration. That's going to be a blast. But Auburn basketball, for another huge week, they completed, it looks like they kind of completed this roster. There were the two spots that were left. Someone to play probably around the four range, and then someone to play possibly the 1-2 combo guard situation. And it was almost like Auburn was its own worst enemy, that you had the roster was just so bolstered that it was almost scaring away your high-profile recruits because they're just like, hey, and this sounds sarcastic, but hear me out here. It was almost like you guys are too good. There's just too many good guys on this court to get minutes. And it's almost like your high ceiling is a curse in a way. I mean, that's a great, I guess it's like a great and a bad problem to have, but it was just kind of like, I mean, you really want to take this team up even a higher notch of just getting those last two spots filled. And they were getting a lot of high profile visits. And there was a lot of interest from a lot of guys. And, you know, for one reason or another, a lot of them did not end up working out. So they did fill the spot of our guy. We're going to say his real name once because his nickname is so much better. Power forward Jaheim Hudson, better known as
Turtle.
Turtle. So I see Justin Ferguson report this, and this is the reporting that we all need. Immediately just goes, we've confirmed, I think Bruce Pearl like just casually said it at the press conference. So we've confirmed that his nickname is Turtle. So I don't know if I'll call him by his real name ever again. So for here on out, if you hear the name Turtle, we're talking about Hudson. Incredible name. The memes will be just absolutely elite. Oh, Auburn is a nickname school. You know, we got to have just fire names, fire nicknames, and Turtle just get in line of the Mount Rushmores of fantastic names at Auburn. So that one's going to be awesome. So I want to shout out our guy on Twitter, Father Bruce, did a really good spreadsheet guy. Not as like hardcore as Josh done with the spreadsheets, but he did a, you can find it on my profile, find it on there. He did a 2024-2025 basketball roster. He put everybody's stats, name, year, height, just all the stuff on this really easy to see spreadsheet here. So I'm reading from that. He is a Turtle, is a senior. He's 6'7", and it has a full breakdown of all his stats. Decent three-point shooter for a big man at 32%, 43.4 from the field goal, 3.4 rebounds, about one assist a game, points per game, 5.7. So I don't have his advanced stats yet. As we do a more detailed breakdown, probably later toward, or excuse me, closer to basketball season, we'll get some of those advanced stats. But this is a good big man here that can kind of help balance out and add some depth to that position. Obviously, it's looking like Chaney will very likely be the starter from that group. But you still want bigs, and obviously you got a big, big shoes to replace with what's going to be lost with Jalen. And we still don't know how some of the dominoes may fall with, there's been rumors will Bruin play the four, da, da, da. So regardless, you need depth. And this is a good, strong player that adds a lot of that and will definitely have some impact on the team. Now, well, I'll talk about this a little bit. Now, something that you see with the way this roster makeup is before we start talking about Miles Kelly, Bruce has kind of mentioned that we're going to see a lot more combo stuff, a lot of guys playing different positions. So the chess pieces will not just be black and white, one, twos, threes, fours, fives, and backups. You might be seeing a lot more versatility with this roster. So I want to get your opinion on what you think about that.
The first thing I think about this roster, and I'm pretty sure this sits in the back of the minds of many Auburn fans, supporters, students, is that when you look at it, there are only two underclassmen, and those are two freshmen, which I believe are Tahad and I think Ja'Kai, I hope I said his name right, Howard. The rest of them are upperclassmen or seniors. So this will be one of the most experienced teams in all of college basketball next year. It'll probably be the one of the oldest teams in college basketball next year. Obviously, this is a problem that lies down 25-26, but we're looking at a full-blown rebuild when this season is said and done. And that's obviously, we will cross that bridge when we get – we will cross that bridge when we get to it. So it's kind of like, okay, well, now, since this team is so veteran, since this team is so experienced, since they're mostly seniors or all seniors but two, now we got to see some movement here. And I think, last year you saw us win the NC tournament championship, a huge momentum. Even though we did lose to Yale, the season did end with Yale, people should not overlook the fact that they were still SEC champions in a year where the SEC was cream of the crop. I mean, we were beating up on each other every week in a league where the top three seeds of the tournament were defeated, and you had a fourth seed and a six or seven seed playing in the championship game in Nashville. And obviously this year the SEC will be yet again great. You have a new coach at Kentucky. You have John Calipari at Arkansas. Nate Oates is building an Avenger squad down there, down the road in Tuscaloosa with the announcement of Mark Sears returning. They have a few new players at Alabama as well, some that were sold a dream, some that weren't. But at the end of the day, will Bruce be able to have this team mesh perfectly? And I think he will. I think people underestimate how great Bruce is of developing team chemistry. He did it with last year's squad, and I think he'll do it again with this year's squad. But looking forward to seeing this roster compete. There's a lot of preseason top 10, top 15 hype around this squad. But I'm just saying, just wait and see. I think Bruce Pearl is building something special, and I believe this roster, as it stands right now, going into the first week of the season, it's one of the best, if not the best, in all of the SEC in college basketball.
No, absolutely. And like we're kind of like we're saying here, I want to jump to because I want to come back to some of that because we're going to bogey on this roster. Like I said, we're not going to look too far ahead because I don't want to look at the season after this upcoming one because that could be scary. You
Right.
got to replace at least 10 plus guys, maybe a handful of walk-ons. It's going to be the rebuild of all rebuild. But that's just, I think that is the nature of the portal. And I think what's going to be very important for this team to do is go out there. Make sure that they have a big flashy season so you get all eyes on you. So then you are the place that
Right.
everybody wants to. And I think they really could do something like that. Before we jump in too far to this, I want to give a quick shout out to the show sponsors today. So, first and foremost, here, if you need a little bit of energy, you're hyped up, maybe you just got done playing a bunch of golf in California and you got a little bit of jet lag, check out PlainsCoffee.com. That is the coffee of champions, golf champions specifically. Plains Coffee pairs great with the day on the golf course. Just ask Charlie Five, he'll tell you. And you can pair it up with that code Auburn for 10% off at checkout. Ships right to your door. This isn't like been sitting in a warehouse getting stale coffee. This is like, oh, we got an order. We're going to ground this stuff fresh and send it straight to your door. Coffee, the bomb. And also, what's great with coffee too is pairing that up with a trip to the Opelika Rage Room, with also a location in Birmingham, if you're listening to that area as well. Yes, you can get your energy, you get hyped up, you can go break stuff. You get a big old spread of stuff on the table, like glass, bottles, electronics, printers, windshields, the doors, the car smashing, like anything that you're like, you know what, that would be really fun to smash with a sledgehammer. They got you covered. Get some Plains coffee, paired up with the trip to the Rage Room. Freaking blast. Tell them that we sent you here at the Auburn Daily Show. They'll get you a free box of stuff. Check them out if you're in the Auburn Opelika area, opelikaranger.com. If you're in the Greater Birmingham area, birminghamranger.com. Same price and same experience. They both are a blast. I want to thank them for sponsoring the show. So, do you like that transition there? The coffee champions? I mean,
I loved
you
it.
guys.
I loved it.
Yeah. No, I couldn't imagine playing golf. I couldn't imagine playing golf without some, you know, good high quality coffee from PlainsCoffee.com. So, jumping to this roster here. Loaded with seniors,
Yes.
loaded with experience. I think you got a good mix of guys that are staying. You got some coming in. And obviously, people were circling the guard. Love Trey. Gonna omit my thoughts on Aiden. But the guard definitely, the issue that I would say the guard play was last year is there was not many step up, we're gonna put the team on our back and win moments from the guards when it counted. Now, part of that, I think, has to do with the fact that this team was running things through Jani and Jalen, which, and shoot even CBM in Denver. So, like, naturally speaking, like, let your best guys get the ball. But there's just some times where you need the guards to step up and do the thing. I cannot think of a game, unless you can correct me, where Trey and Aiden, we can look back and say, wow, we won that close game because of what they did. Can you think of one? And I'm not trying to throw shade at him here. I'm just trying to call for
No,
out one.
you're good. I don't think you can. And I remember vaguely when, not really vaguely, heavily when, the tournament bracket was released and we got paired with Yale and Jeff, the famous, the infamous Jeff Goodman said, Auburn guards play concerns me and watch out for Yale. And we were all like, dude, you're crazy. Like, what are you thinking? And then the day happens and he was right. The guard play wasn't there and we did get upset by
Yeah,
Yale.
it's brutal. Did you meet Jeff Goodman at the Auburn Kentucky game?
I did. Great guy, by the
I
way.
did too,
Great guy.
yeah. Yeah, no, we had to, had to have some words with him, but he scared up with a little pie in his face. You can see that on Twitter. It's a great story. Myself and Rob colluded to be like, hey, we're gonna prank Jeff, like we're gonna pie him for charity. It was awesome. He was like legitimately scared. We did great Photoshop skills, but yeah. So I mean, Heather Dinich and Jeff Goodman, you got to be sipping there, just sipping on their tea, and like, we don't ever want to lose the ratio, but we're gonna wear it as Auburn fans. We got real mad about. It was probably around this time last year in the summer when Heather Dinich was like, guys,
receivers, yeah.
Look out.
We're going to need some work.
Crazy. And then, sure enough, she's right. It was like, Rand Hurt media days. And she was kind of nice about it. She's like, hey, I'm just telling everybody what it's all. And Jeff, same deal with the guards in Yale. It was like, all right, there's Jeff, Auburn hater, going at it again. And unfortunately, he was right. So, got to give even the enemies of Auburn their credit when it's due. We wear it, but we learn and we rebuild and bolster. So the bolstering, the depth piece. And that was hard because you had strong depth at that guard deal. You got your three incoming transfers. Obviously, we already talked about Turtle, but then you got Pegues and Miles Kelly, most recently being Miles Kelly. So Bruce had a legendary tweet of size matters because Miles Kelly is 6'6". JP, they have him listed at 6'2". So you got a little bit of a size upgrade at the guard position. Denver, around 6'4". They got Pettiford listed at 5'10". Who knows what that'll actually be when he gets here. He's obviously a high schooler. He may still be growing. So that can be a little bit fluid. But it's always good to have a small little scamper guy in there. But this will be something that Auburn hasn't had in a while. Some big size. Bruce has always kind of liked your smaller, faster, kind of scrappy guards. And this will be sort of kind of your more traditional style guard play that you're seeing a lot more at the league. So it'll be a big mix, but the big thing with Miles is he can do a lot of combo work. So potentially the ones, the twos, maybe they'll even do that package. We'll have three guards moving down somebody to the three. Denver has obviously played a few positions briefly. There's a lot of versatility with this roster. We've even talked a little bit briefly about, some of the guys down the fours and the fives moving around. One thing I'm excited about, and you got the guys with enough experience that they've played ball at this level enough to where – they know that they can play some different positions, which helps you out for matchups. It helps you out if guys are in foul trouble and or injured, which obviously we don't want that at all. But if it does happen, the team's got to be ready to adjust. You got to prepare for any and everything. And I think you got a roster can do that, not only just with the versatility, but the experience too. This team could be freaking dangerous next year. And I think to say they normally keep that last scholarship open, so maybe they'll give it to walk on. I don't know at this point if they're going to grab a depth piece there or not. They might do that just because there's so many seniors on the team. I'm not going to get too far ahead of myself there, but as far as the lineup of who's playing, this is probably what it's going to be looking like. I think it's going to be pretty complete here. We're booking about this roster. Are we booking? I'm booking.
Yes. We definitely are. I mean, To say you have a SEC champion reloading the way they have, and I know people. I try not to get into the trolling because I don't know ball like that. All of this right now is just from me being around the program so much during my time at Auburn and still will be around it. This team does have the potential of doing something special. I think we get caught up in the offseason going into the preseason about, this year it has to be the Elite Eight, or this year it has to be the Final Four, this year it has to be a national championship. I think we did that with the year we had Jabari and Walker and Wendell and KD and all those great players. I think we did that. I was like, this team is Final Four bust. And when we go get out the second round, we feel bummed. But let's not feel bummed because we won the SEC regular season title. The SEC is good. The SEC has gotten better. I think I got clowned on Twitter when I made this point, but it was really the truth. A lot of basketball programs in the SEC should be thankful for Bruce Pearl because if Jay Jacob doesn't bring Bruce Pearl to Auburn, it's Anthony Grant. Not Anthony Grant, excuse me. Is Avery Johnson still at Alabama today? Does Cal end up eventually leaving Kentucky, because do you play Auburn in the Elite Eight and get put out in the Elite Eight by Auburn? I mean, Vanderbilt made Jerry Stackhouse had some good times at Vanderbilt. You know, Arkansas had like I remember going back to football, and I tried to tread on football too much because that's just a very hot topic everywhere. You know, people used to make a chart of every SEC school that had a coaching change while Saban was at Alabama. I wonder what that would look like if you did all the SEC schools that have had a coaching change since Bruce Pearl's been at Auburn. And I think you'll be surprised at the results. I mean, they have Chris Beard at Ole Miss.
Well,
I mean,
a stat that I dug up when I was talking to Andrew, and the point here is, as a hill I like to stand on a lot, is throwing shade at Cal, something I love doing. But and this will be doing, and I'm gonna, even though he's at Arkansas, he doesn't, the strays are still be coming his way. But I was looking, I was like, how much of Cal's success at Kentucky was really due to the fact that he was this great coach? Or is it just the fact that, like, you could have a toddler coach in Kentucky and they'd still get 5 stars and high 4 stars? Like, it just is what it is. So what I was looking at was like, okay, you look at Cal's success in its totality, and then you split it in half with a knife of recent and past.
right.
And where you see it just absolutely fall off is when the SEC as a whole, when Bruce Pearl really started getting it rolling, that first tournament run around 2017 and 18, you can just see it just plummet. And then I looked at the data and I went through every year by year and looked at how many SEC teams are making the NCAA tournament every year. And for those first few years of Cal's term, it was like three, four, maybe 1 year there'd be five. And now
Right.
it's like what used to be the absolute ceiling of the SEC is the floor. Now you're seeing five, six, seven plus teams make the tournament every year in the SEC. So the talent of the SEC as a whole has risen so much. And yeah, like I think you really can make an argument to Bruce Pearl about that, because one, what he did to elevate Auburn to that echelon.
Right.
And little brother syndrome, Alabama's like, oh no, Auburn's good at basketball. So all of a sudden we're going to just dump money and gasoline and throw a match on it and make Alabama compete in basketball nationally. Because what you aforementioned with Johnson and Grant and all that, like that was why they were just going through coaching turnover, because they couldn't keep up with Bruce Pearl. And so they
Right.
start throwing more and more money at it, and that's what they've done now with this roster. And just trying to get these guys up here is just because it's they want what Auburn has, and it's just to consistently compete in
Exactly.
basketball. And had that never happened at Auburn, Alabama doesn't care about basketball. They just it would not have happened. They would have been football only.
I don't think they still I don't like talking about them as much. I don't think they still do. And here's why I say this. And you know, I
I mean, that's
know
true.
they talk about the cost of production or whatever they're saying about getting in the arena. You've been to a Final Four. There has still to this day, and this could change in the future, there's no sign of a new arena that you so desperately
No.
need.
And look at ticket sales when Auburn comes to town versus like other ranked SEC teams. I mean, it's like it's
Exactly. And
crazy.
like,
Auburn is selling out every game, and
correct.
you'd have a top ranked whoever come there. And it's like you're seeing tickets for like $5. It's just like,
Right.
$5. Like, I mean, you can't even pay to park in Auburn for a ticket to an
Right.
Alabama basketball game.
Exactly. And then you see some people, I saw some people who grew up Alabama fans, still Alabama fans. And this last time I'm going to talk about Alabama, I hope.
Yeah, dude, we're turning the
But
page.
that now that they have went to the Final Four, now that Mark Few's coming back, you see a lot of people tweeting or posting on Facebook, wow, I can't believe that Alabama basketball is going to be probably higher ranked than our football team. You know, that's where they are. They're a football-minded place, and I think Bruce Pearl has just changed the SEC basketball dynamic. When he left Tennessee, went on his coaching sabbatical, as I call it, and then landed at Auburn, and he's done great things. And I really believe once Auburn gets all of the NIL behind our basketball program and not in programs, I think Auburn can be
Get that
very, very
facility.
special.
Yeah, he raised the ceiling at Tennessee. Tennessee's kept it running with Rick Barnes, Todd Golden, obviously former Bruce assistant and protege. Florida's trying to get back. I mean, obviously Florida, I mean,
Exactly.
just you talk about the rise and fall of Florida athletics over the last 15 years is just should be studied. Crazy.
Right.
But I mean, they want to get back to the Donovan days. And I mean, I think Todd Golden is a fantastic coach.
He is.
And I think once Florida can really get things rolling there, they could be scary. Obviously, with Kentucky's done, or sorry, Kentucky's Kentucky, with Arkansas's trying to do with getting Cal there. You got the addition of Texas and Oklahoma coming in. I like Buzz Williams as a coach. Actually, when I saw his post-game interview at Auburn, like, Buzz was kind of a cool guy. He's a scrappy dude. You know, A&M, they got the money. They want to be on that stage well. I mean, Georgia made a big splash trying to get Mike White up there. LSU was on a roll. Then with all the FBI stuff, I think when they come back, like, the SEC and Vanderbilt, you know, they've always been, comparative to football, much better. That's a strong bunch, the conference as a whole, and it is not easy. And like I said, Auburn has a roster here that is going to be able to compete with anybody and everybody at the SEC. They have a championship caliber roster. I think most people feel like Auburn, minus Jalen Williams, just because Jalen is a literal true Auburn legend. I mean, you just can't replace a guy like that. But you still feel pretty good about Chaney filling those shoes and some of the other pieces they can move around. And then I'd say at guard, I think most people will feel like Auburn has pretty much upgraded all of the guards. So, and then we haven't even talked about like one of the best players, not the best player, coming back with Jahni Broom.
Correct.
Like, Jahni had a fantastic first year at Auburn. Stepped up even higher his second year. I'm like, can this guy get better? Yes, he did. Could he continue to raise his own roof year three, like year three at Auburn? I'm not doubting Jahni Broom can do anything. I mean, the improvements that the NBA wanted to see from him year over year, he went out and he freaking did it. I mean, he's draining three balls like whenever he wants. Nobody could guard him down low. He was doing much better about staying out of foul trouble. And that was the big issue he had his first year. I mean, he was doing whatever he wanted when he wanted. I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but like, I would be real curious to see how many games he didn't score double digits in. I mean, his points per game average was almost 17. And the crazy part about that is Jahni played so few minutes, comparatively speaking, of other players in the nation that were like putting up top 10 statistical numbers. Like, Jahni's playing 24, 25-ish minutes a game, where these guys are playing, like, 30 to 36 minutes a game. So, like, these guys are almost having 7 to 10-plus minutes a game on Jahni. But, like, Jahni's still putting up those numbers. Imagine if Jahni averages over 30 minutes a game. It'll be terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, for other teams, it'll be incredible for me.
It would be. And I'm really excited to see how this roster unfolds and, you know, a tip of the cap to Coach Pearl, to Steven, to Coach Pruitt, Coach Bowman. I mean, all of them, Coach Burgermaster, Coach Borders, the whole entire staff has done a phenomenal job, not just getting these guys on campus, but just showing them, you know, what Auburn is about. And I know in today's recruiting game, from what I hear, from what you see, it's all about, you know, how much you're going to pay me, how much I'm going to play, and people really take away the development aspect of it, or the family aspect of it, or the place aspect of it. And I think Auburn is a special place, and, you know, at times, you know, we have some of the worst losses in all of college athletics, it feels like, but when Auburn athletics is on a roll, I mean, Auburn, Alabama is truly, truly a very special place to be. And our coaches, not just of basketball, of all across just all sports, gets that message across that Auburn is more than men's basketball. It's more than football. Auburn is everything. And we're academics. We're engineering. I mean, we're all of that. And I'm looking forward to seeing these guys on the hardwood this season.
Well, yeah, you see the even former players, like guys that left Stretch, giving shout-outs to Auburn. I mean, even KD the other day was like, thank you, AU, for the birthday wishes. Here's the deal about KD saying he wants to come back and get a degree from Auburn. I mean, it really is. It does run deep. And, you know, former guys that transfer out, if they do it the right way, cough, cough, like Auburn's going to support him. You know, it's like, hey, I mean, even Flan, it was a little dicey, but it's like, you know, I think everybody's like, you know, hey, you know, appreciate you what you did here. We get your situation.
Right.
So long as you go out as a group.
There's a right way to do everything.
Right. And then we can still show you that love. And then there's others that don't, and we won't have to name names. But I think you mentioned it too with the coaching staff, what that does for the culture, having that consistency. That is absolutely huge. And you're right. You mentioned the bad losses. But here's the thing about it with bad losses. Like people like certain people, fan base, love bringing up the Yale loss. It's like, why that doesn't sweat or bother me? It's because I know this team's going to go back. Like, they'll do it again. Every blue blood, every great team in basketball, like, they'll have an upsetting loss. Do you know why these blue bloods don't sweat it when they get upset randomly in the tournament? Because they know they'll be back. Right. Like, yeah, it stings in the moment, but they're not dwelling on it. Because it's like, hey, we're an elite program. We'll have an elite roster. Like, sometimes good teams lose when they shouldn't, and we'll be back. And that's why it's like, I don't care. We're moving on to the next year. Yeah, it sucked in the moment. I went out to Spokane. Like, yeah, it was brutal. But you know what? I'll be flying out or driving out to where Auburn's playing next year because they'll be there. I'll be in Nashville. I'll be wherever. And they'll do it the next year and the year after that because of how high the floor of this program has gotten.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that is the difference between a team of destiny versus truly elite. Is the team of destiny, it stings because you have that, like, oh, we'll never be back here. This is our one chance to do it. Versus, like, we were here before. We had a trip up moment, but we'll be back here again. Right. And you cannot look at this roster and in good faith be like, yeah, this Auburn team, I don't think they're going to really do it in the SEC or the NCAA tournament. They're going to be I can't say exactly yet once you get a little bit closer to the season before we kind of break this down for the whole SEC, but I think the floor of this Auburn team is a top three SEC team. I think the ceiling is obviously the best in the SEC. There's no telling what Alabama's going to do just because, I mean, I'm never going to look at a Nate Oates coach team and be like, wow, they with that defense and think that I feel super great about that till I'm proven otherwise on the defensive side of the ball. We don't know what Kentucky and Arkansas are two massive wild cards. So there's no telling what will happen there. And there's always going to be some team randomly that will pop out of the woodwork. Like it might be Florida, South Carolina.
Like South Carolina did last year, right?
Yeah, there's going to be that one team that's all in the mix and nobody saw coming. So you got a lot of things coming at you from other directions. And you know, they just got to be ready and prepared. And I'll say this. I want to end on this one note speaking of offense versus defense. And I will talk about this more. I should have tweeted about it because I did a little bit. I don't even think I've told you this. But I did a bunch of NCAA March Madness brackets, as folks tend to do. And one, I was like, we're going to do just straight chalk KenPom brackets. And basically what I did is I went through there and did I think overall KenPom rating, offense, adjusted offense, and adjusted defense. So basically, if the team had the better defensive rating, they'd win. Team had a better offensive rating, they would win. So this is freaking crazy. And it called a lot of upsets. Can I pull my brackets up? Do I have my brackets in here? I'm trying to pull up a live. I may not be signed in. So anyway, I'll just spit this from memory. The defensive bracket was like bottom 40, 30%. It was horrible. But my KenPom adjusted offense winner was like in the 99.9 percentile of the entire nation. Like, I want to say it was like a top 10,000 bracket or something crazy. And it was solely just copying, because it actually had Alabama going to the Final Four losing to UConn. Like, that bracket had that. The only major loss that has was Kentucky, which is just funny to dog on Kentucky. But they were the only team that had a high offensive rating that ended up dropping. But a lot of upsets were called by that metric of just teams that were randomly good on offense on KenPom that showed up in March. So I love deep dives. I love doing the statistical deals there. But I think when it goes, you're one trick pony. You don't have that good offensive defensive balance. It goes to show you can get hot and beat anybody, but you can lose to anybody. And obviously the anomaly of Auburn there. Refs, ejections, we'll get into that. But one thing that Auburn had that I think would be even higher is they were an incredibly balanced team. And I think that's why, at least in conference play, their ceiling and floor were so high. So let's hope even with the loss of Jalen who was a big, big contributor to that, that they can keep that balance and keep remaining a top 10 Ken Palm offense and defense. Because if they do, buckle up for that run, because it's going to be coming.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
Hey, but that's all I got. You know, hey,
that's where is it? We're done. Well, obviously, we're wrapping it up here. We're hyped for basketball. They got that done. We are natty. We won a natty. National championships and national champions in golf. Man, I can't be talking right now. Want to thank our guest, Michael Floyd, for joining us as always.
Oh, thank y'all. Thank y'all. Twitter.
Alumnus Michael Floyd and Michael Floyd.
Alumnus.
On Twitter. Yep, got that championship hat on. You check what out, Mike. Hey, I'm doing a lot of trolling right now, but if you're into that sort of thing, find me on Twitter at Auburn Memes. And check out everything awesome the Auburn Daily Show is going to have going on. Charlie Fives, you can be doing a bigger breakdown of this golf deal. As someone who actually hosts a golf podcast, you can get some really, really good deep dives there. I'm just talking about why this team was so special and how awesome this run was. We will be back at you with the coverage. We've got more coming. Check everything out that the staff's doing at auburndaily.com. Appreciate you guys supporting the show. Like, follow, subscribe, and be on podcast or YouTube. Thank you guys for tuning in. And how do we end the episode, Floyd?
War Eagle.
There we go. All right, got it. Bye, guys.